Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Ayin Beis. We're on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Towards the bottom, perhaps let's back up to the beginning of the Braisa, which will introduce us to today's Gemara. The Braisa discusses a machlekes between Rami and the Rabbanon, pertaining to a question as follows. We know there's a process called Erev Chatzeres, a process called Shituf Mavois. Are these two things connected with each other? Meaning, do we need to establish an Erev Chatzeres and a Shituf Mavois? According to Rameh, yes, they are considered to be two independent endeavors, and one does not substitute for the other. Whereas according to Rabbanon, only one of the two are required. One will substitute for the other. Let's see the price. 9 lines from the bottom. My Rabbi Meir, my Rabbanon. What do we find these two shitas? The Sanya. Ma'arvin b'chatzeres v'pas. We're meant to establish an Erev Chatzeres using bread, specifically bread, as Rashi explains. It's a staple food item. And you're trying to create a makam dira here. By collecting that bread and putting it in one of the homes of the chatzer, that's becoming the makam dira for all the members. Now a person's mind and heart is focused at the place of his sustenance. So in this case, bread is required, which is a person's primary source of sustenance, and that becomes his makam dira. This house becomes the primary residence for all the members of the chatzer. And now they've all joined together. It's as though there's only one residency in this chatzer, and this allows them to carry throughout the entire area. Or if they go ahead and take that bread and bring it next door, so first they collect the bread from all the members of this chatzer, they'd like to connect to the neighboring chatzer as well through a doorway. So they take this bread, bring it next door, place it in the home, one of the homes next door. And by doing so, once again, they merge together all the residencies. It becomes one singular residence for all, and allows them to carry throughout both chatzeres. So how is this accomplished? Specifically using bread. If they wish to use wine, that doesn't work, because it's not a staple food item. However, when it comes to shittim of voice, which is merely merging together the usage areas, the alleyway, which is not a place of residence, not living quarters, therefore bread is not required. Wine is enough. Taisa says apparently they would prefer wine, perhaps due to its added prominence, but really any food works fine. They do the shituf throughout the mavi using wine, collecting wine from all the chatzeres, thereby creating that partnership in the mavi. It becomes one joint, one singular usage area. If they wish to use bread for the shituf, that's only fine, it's better than wine. Continues the price. Ma'arvan b'chatzeres u'mishtatfin b'mavi. One must establish both. He must do erev chatzeres and shituf mavois. So for instance, if we've collected bread from all the members of the chatzer and then connected to the chatzer next door by bringing the erev bread through that doorway and merging together with the chatzer next door. So once you've connected the two chatzeres, do they need to go ahead and go through the additional procedure of collecting more wine for the shittim of voice to allow them to carry through the alleyway? Is that necessary? Perhaps not, because once we've already connected the members of the two courtyards, one to the other, we've already created that partnership between all the chatzeres here. Why do you need to go ahead and make another collection? Collect some wine from both chatzeres to allow them to carry the mavi. They've already been established as one singular entity. That's one question. Then the next question would be, let's say you made a sheet of mavois. So you've collected some wine from all the chatzeres. You've now merged together all the residents of all the chatzeres. So this sheet of, theoretically, should be all-encompassing. All the chatzeres, with all the members within, have already joined together. They've become one single entity. So why, after you do shituf, do you need to proceed and also do Erev Chatzeres? Says the Braisa, Ma'arim b'chatzeres, u'mishtatzen b'mavi, both procedures are required. One cannot be applied for the sake of the other. Why? Shalei l'shakeach teres Erev min ha'tinokes. Simply to keep the children mindful, they shouldn't forget about the concepts of Erev and Shituf. They won't realize what's going on. Theoretically it would work, but the kids will see Look, an Erev Chatzeres was done, but not a sheet of Mavois. How are we carrying in the alleyway? Or conversely, they'll see a sheet of Mavois, and they won't see an Erev Chatzeres, because let's remember, the Erev Chatzeres is placed in the home, and the sheet of Mavois is placed out in the open. Right? It's meant to merge together the usage area, so it's placed out in the open. So they'll see the Erev Chatzir sitting in the house, they'll say, how are we carrying the Mavi? Where's the Shittuv? They'll see the Shittuv Mavoi sitting somewhere in the Chatzir. They'll say, well, that takes care of the alleyway. What about the Chatziris? How are we carrying the Chatziris? They won't realize that one can compensate for the other. Sheyemru, they'll simply conclude, they'll say, Avaseinu le'Ivru. Look, our parents neglected, they didn't make the Erev. So that's why you have to do both. To make it visible for the children. Divrei Rav Meir. No, it's not necessary. One or the other is okay. Meaning, once you've merged together the chatziris through a collection of bread, right? You've taken the bread from this chatzir, brought it next door through that doorway, put it in the home next door, thereby connecting the two chatziris. No more needs to be done. The chatziris have already been connected. You don't need to go ahead and make another collection for the sheet of advice. They're already one singular entity, and they can go carry through the Mavi. Likewise, if you do a sheet of Mavois, that's already all-encompassing. All the Chatziris, with all the residents contained therein, have already joined together. They've become one single residence, one single entity, and now you can carry throughout the entire area the Mavi, the Chatziris, without any concern. Continues the Gemara. Pligi ba Rav Nechumi b'Rabba. There's actually a machlokes between Nechumi and Rabba. How exactly when to apply this machlekes? What is the context of their discussion? Chad Amar once said like this, but pass, if the collection was with bread, meaning they did the Erev Chatzeres between the both courtyards using bread, or if they did the Sheet of Mavois using bread, which was above and beyond what they needed to do, in this case, it's going to work. The Kuli Amalei Pligi de B'chad Asagi. All agree, even Rami agrees that one is enough. Apparently he holds that bread is more prominent, more significant, and is visible to the children. And therefore, if the Erev was done using bread, or the Shittuv was done using bread, that's all you need. This process is now considered to be all-encompassing, everybody has merged together, and nothing more is needed. Keep Pligi behind. The Machlekes only pertains to where they used wine. So they made the Shittuv Mavois by collecting wine. Now, wine technically only works for the Shittuv Mavois, but not for the Erev Chatzeres, which requires more than that. Trying to generate a Malkum Dira, that requires a stable food item like bread. So the Rameya says, well, you've only accomplished a Sheet of Mavois. That can't be applied to Erev Chatzeres. You do a special collection for the Erev Chatzeres. Whereas the Rabbanon say, you're right. Generally speaking, bread can't be used for the Erev Chatzeres, but in this case, since it works, it's valid for the Sheet of Mavois. So if you've established a Sheet of Mavois using wine, it's a valid Sheet of Mavois. Once that's been activated, once that takes effect, that's all-encompassing. That already includes all the members of all the courtyards, and there's no need any longer to make Erev Chatziris. So that's one approach to the Machlekes. When it comes to bread, there's no discussion. All agree that one collection can work for the entire area. The question is, when they used wine for the Sheet of, Rameya says, that's not sufficient for the Erev Chatziris. Kondrabanan, it can be applied for the entire area as well. V'chadamar, and the other approach was, the other one said, b'yayin d'kulei amalei pligi d'binatarti. If there was a wine collection for the Sheet of Mavois, all agree, even the Chacham agree, that can't be applied for the Erev Chatziris, which requires bread. So all agree, two collections are required. After you do the Sheet of, you need to proceed and do the Erev Chatziris as well. Ki pligi b'pas. The machlekes only pertains to bread, which is more prominent and significant. So according to the Chachamim, once you've collected bread either for the Erev Chatziris or for the Sheet of Mavois, that's all you need. That's all-encompassing. You've already merged everybody together, you created one usage area, one joint residency, and you're taken care of. Whereas according to the mayor, we're concerned about the children, we want it to be visible, therefore two processes are required. Says the Gemara, Meisve, we have a kasha from the Brice that we just mentioned, to one of these approaches. Chachamim clearly say, either make Erev joining together both chatziris. An assumption is that you want to use bread, or make a sheet of mavois, and that's enough. Takes care of the entire area. My love, shall we not assume? Either you're making erev in the chatzir using bread, which is required for the erev, and that will be applied for the sheet of as well. That's all you need. Or when the Chacham say, they mean you can make sheet of mavois using wine, which is a standard material used for the sheet of mavois, and that can be applied for the erev chatziris. So this is a kasha on the second sheet here, which says that wine certainly cannot be applied. Meaning if you do a sheet of mavois with wine, that cannot be applied for the erev chatziris because wine does not work for erev chatziris. So this sheet to maintain that all agree, even Chacham agree, if you do sheet of mavois with wine, it cannot encompass the erev chatziris. And here we have a clear braisa, which seems to tell us that according to Chacham, either way you're okay. Either if you did the erev with bread, that can be applied for the shittuf. If you did the shittuf with wine, it can be applied for the erev. And the reason was, as we said earlier, because the fact is it works for the shittuf mavois. It's valid for its purpose. So once it's been activated there, it's all encompassing and includes even the chatziris. Says Umar, no, not so fast. Omar Avgid Omar Rav, Hochi Kamar. This is what the braisa means to say. Oyim Ayvim Bechatzir Pas. Umar Torin Kan Vekan. You have a choice. Either make an erev chatziris with bread, and you'll be mutter in the chatziris and the mavi. It can be applied for both. Oyim Mishtatim Mavi Bepas. Umar Torin Kan Vekan. Or make a shittuf with bread, specifically. And then it's going to work. It's going to work for the mavi, it's going to work for the chatziris, and you're all covered. Okay, so in summary, we have a machlokes in our mayor who says, ma'arav and mishtatvin. You need to make both, erev and shittuf. Rabbanan say, one or the other, oy ma'arav and mishtatvin. We have two approaches. According to the first approach, if they have used bread, all agree, only one process is required. That can be applied for both, for shittuf and for erev. Machlokes pertains to wine. So if they did the shittuf with wine, the Meir says, that's not valid for the Erev. So it only works for the shittuf, and you need to make an additional Erev. Because the Rabbanon say, since it's valid for the shittuf is an all-encompassing process, and will include the concept of Erev Chatzeris as well, and no more is required. According to the second portion of the Gemara, when it comes to wine, all agree, since wine is not valid for Erev Chatzeris, it cannot be applied for Erev Chatzeris. So if you made a shittuf and voice with wine, you need to additionally to the sheet of the erev chatziris with bread. The machlekes applies to the case where they actually use bread. In this case, Chacham say, one's enough. As long as you did the erev chatziris or the sheet of mavoy, since you use bread, it can be applied to both areas. But according to Rav Meir, concerned about the children, therefore, even if you use bread, you must go ahead and establish both things, erev chatziris and sheet of mavoy. So how do we conclude? Says the Gemara, Amar Bida Amar Rav, Halacha K'Rav Meir. They were meant to do both. Rav Huna Amar, Mina K'Rav Meir. The Mina is like Rav Meir. Rashi explains that we don't publicize it. Halacha means we publicize it as the Halacha, whereas Mina just means that privately we'll instruct the individual to follow the Shita. Perhaps the point is not to negate the majority view, the Shita's Chachamim. Rav Yechon Amar, No Guham K'Rav Meir. The Am was Noyeg. Like Rav Meir, meaning we don't instruct anybody to follow Rav Meir, but if somebody does so, we don't protest and require him to undo it. Continues the Mishnah. Chamisha chaburoi sheshavso b'traklin echad. Let's say you have five chaburis. Five groups of people who decide to spend their Shabbos in a traklin. This large sized room which featured partitions. It was subdivided. So now we have one big makim, but divided into subdivisions. Temporary mechitzis, dividing the chaburis. The question is, should we look at the traklin, which is one large size area, one makim, and treat these chaburis as one happy family? And they don't need to have an erev to carry from one subdivision to the other. Or perhaps should we focus on the mechitzis here, despite the fact that they're temporary mechitzis? Well, they create separate usage areas. We have separate places of residence. And they need to make an erev in order to transfer one to the other. So that's one manifestation of this question. Another ramification would be, let's say there are other people living out in the chatzar. So these people, these chaburis in this traklin, are sharing a courtyard with other people living in other homes. So an erev is required. The question is, how much do they need to contribute? Are they considered to be one dir, one residency, and therefore only one portion of bread is required on behalf of them all? Or perhaps each chabura needs to contribute independently because they're considered to be separate places of residence. So there are two nafkaminas to this question. So which one is it? Rav Machlekes. Chamisha chabura sheshavsu b'chaklin echad b'shame oimim erev l'chol chabura chabura. Each group requires its own contribution to the erev because we focus on the fact that they're living in separate places of residence, separate usage areas. They're divided by these temporary mechitzas, and that makes them separate mekaymos dira. Ubisil oimrim erev echad lekulan. They only have to contribute to one erev for the entire bunch here, because they're sitting in one area, in one traklin, one malkin, one house. They're considered to be one residency, and therefore they don't need to contribute more than one portion of bread. And likewise, according to Beis Hillel, they could transfer amongst themselves because they're sitting in one home. Whereas according to Beis Shammai, each one is like a separate home. In order to transfer from one to the other, they have to create an erev. Concludes the Mishnah, Umoidim. Certainly all agree with Bezman Shemeksosan Shruin. If some of them are residing in separate rooms with permanent mechitzas, or by aliyas in different floors, upper floors, in this case, certainly there are separate places of residence. Shein tzrichan erev l'chol chabur chabur. You need to make a separate erev for each group. Each one has to contribute it independently to the erev in the chatzah. Let's take a look at Rashi, 11 lines from the top. It says Rashi, masnisim b'traklin echad. So five groups are residing, spending their Shabbos in one traklin, one huge room, v'chalku l'chamisha, and they subdivided into five parts. V'kulon yeshlam pesach min traklin l'chatzah. Each group has its own pesach out of the chatzah. V'tzorach l'arev im shav b'nei chatzah. That requires them to make an erev with the other members of the chatzah. So how do they go about it? V'shamei oimim v'shu yusein chalukin. We regard them as separate entities. V'tzorach l'chol chaburah. Each chabur has to contribute bread to the chatz, to the erev. It's like five homes. Likewise, if they would like to carry from one subdivision to the other within this traklin, an erev is required. They're like five separate homes. No, this mechitza doesn't create a chilek rishus, doesn't separate it into different domains. The mechitza shveli, it's a low down, weak mechitza. Can the fire shvei gemara, as we'll soon see in the gemara. Hilkach, eruv echad kulan. When they contribute to the other, to the eruv, with the other members of the chatzar, they only contribute one portion on behalf of them all. That's number one. And number two, b'tvei chatrak l'nami, matzim ezu ezu b'tvei like eruv. Within this track, and they can transfer to an eruv. Shad traklin mechabron. Because this traklin combines them all. The Ritva says that the traklin is mevatel, those temporary mechitzes. It overrides it, because it's really essentially one room. The kivan de benein ain't tzarech erev. And since they don't need to make an erev amongst themselves, nasa echad mem shliach lekulam. So now when they join with the other members of the chatzar to make an erev, one person can represent them all. Damrin lekamon, as we're going to see soon, Chamisha Shagoves Eruvan. You have five people collected Erev. Kulayma Sheshruim Chamisha Batam Machatzah. Five people living in a Chatzah, each one in his own home. Viru Beinim. And they made an Erev amongst themselves. Vavaluchad. Now they have merged into one single unit through the Erev. Vimboin La'erev Machirim. Erev Echad Nekulam. They wish to connect to the Chatzah next door. One of them can represent them all. Because he's not an independent person. He's part of that unit. He's part of that communal entity called Erev. So likewise, in our case, according to Beis Hillel, the people living in this traklin are, by default, connected, one and the same, even without making an Erev. And therefore, when they go ahead and they join with the Erev and the Chatzar, only one of them needs to represent them all. They don't all need to, each chabur doesn't each one need to go and contribute to the Erev. The mission concludes, so we have really separate rooms or different floors, the havalu kehei batim, when we really consider it like five homes, in this case, we don't compare it to the case of five people that have already made an Erev amongst themselves, because bottom line, they didn't make an Erev. We have a person living in this floor, a person living on the upper floor, there's no connection here. In this case, they're viewed as two separate domains, two separate families, two separate rishuyos, and they need to each one contribute to the Erev independently. Continues the Gemara. So, what type of mechitzis, what type of temporary mechitzis are present here? How high? Amar Rav Nachman, machlokes b'mesipas. The discussion now, Mishnah, between Beis Shammai, who regards these subdivisions as separate entities, and Beis Hillel, who say, no, the Tractate overrides everything and encompasses everything, is discussing a case where it's mesipas. We have low down, very low mechitza, Rashi said it's used, they use chatichas eitzim, pieces of wood, very low down mechitza, less than 10 tefachim. So it's a flimsy mechitza. That explains things. Aval mechitza asorah, but if it's 10 tefachim high, which is a din, has a sheer mechitza, they all agree, erev l'kol chabur v'chabur, each chabur needs its own erev, meaning this mechitza asorah tefachim creates that real separation. Each subdivision is regarded as a separate entity. Igadamri, Amar Rav Nachman, there's another version of Rav Nachman, Alpha Masipas Machlekes. The Machlekes applies to both cases. Not only to a Mechitza, which is Asura Tzvachim, even if it's just Masipas, will have the same Machlekes. Meaning, whether it's a low-down Mechitza or it's a high Mechitza, Beis Shammai will say, subdivisions are separate entities. Whereas Beis Hillel will say, no, the ceiling of the trachlin overrides everything and merges them together. They're considered to be one happy family. Continues the Gemara with another approach, how to explain machlekes. Pligiba, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi. So machlekes between these two, how to interpret the machlekes. Chadamar once said, machlekes and machitzes, hamagiyas latirkra. The discussion now, Mishnah, pertains to machitzes which reach all the way up to the ceiling. Yeah, over there, Rabbi Shammai say, well, they really create proper subdivisions. Look, they go all the way up to the ceiling. And we don't see that the ceiling overriding anything. Mechitzas really reach the ceiling and create that separate entity. Aval mechitzas she'ein magiyas latikra. But when these mechitzas don't reach up to the ceiling, so there's some space between the mechitzas and the ceiling, in which case we see the ceiling as though it's encompassing everything and overriding those mechitzas. All agree, Erev Echad Lekulan, one Erev on behalf of all is enough. Meaning, they're considered to be one combined entity. V'chadomer, the other mandomer maintained, Machlekes Mechitzes She'ein Magiyas Latirkra. The Machlekes in our mission pertains to Mechitzes that don't reach up to the ceiling. Yeah, over there, but still hold, since they don't reach all the way up, they're not really worth much. The Traken is Machaber everything. The ceiling which goes over those incomplete mechitzes, really overrides them, and combines them all together, all the units together. But if should those mechitzes reach all the way up to the ceiling, in which case, these subdivisions are visibly separate domains, all would agree, even Beis Hillel would agree, you need to make a special separate era for each group, because they're really subdivisions, separate entities, separate issues. So just to surmise quickly, we have Rav Nachman's two versions, and we have Rav Chia and Rav Shimon Rebbe. Rav Nachman initially said that the discussion on Mishnah pertains to mesipas, mechitzas which are flimsy mechitzas, less than 10 tefachim. But if it's 10 tefachim high, all agree, the subdivisions are separate entities. Version number two of Rav Nachman maintained, no. Whether it's mesipas or whether it's 10 tefachim, the machlekes will apply. We had Reb Chia and Reb Shimon Rebbe. One said that the machlekes is only when the mechitzas reach up to the ceiling. But if they don't reach up to the ceiling, all agree, it's considered to be one combined entity. And we have the final version, which is really very similar to the second version of Rav Nachman, which says that the discussion now, Mishnah, only pertains to mechitzas which are incomplete. But if they reach all the way up to the ceiling, all agree, the subdivisions are considered to be separate entities. So you seem to have four approaches, which are really three. Says Rav Meisvei, we're going to ask a kasha from Rav Breisa, Omar Bida Sabar. Rabida Sabar was a sharp person. Rashi says, Hashem Churfe, due to his sharpness, he was called Rabida Hasabar, Lashon Svara. So when he takes a kashan, Rabida Sabar, which was a Tana, an earlier Tana, from his approach in the Machlokes, but there's a kasha on the interpretation of Rav Nachman, who was an Amor, can argue with Tana, and Rav Chiya, Rav Shimon Rebbe, who, as the Mepharshim explained, lived in a later generation. Therefore, it's going to be a kasha from Rabida Sabar, who lived earlier, and he seems to explain the Brisa a little bit different than they do. The Mishnah a little bit different than they do. Meisvei, we have a kasha from a Brisa. Omar Rabida Sabar. So he's discussing our machlokes, and he says like this: Lo nechelku b'shama b'tzil. There's no machlokes between b'shama b'tzil al mechitzes hamagias l'tikra. If the mechitzes reach all the way up to the ceiling, in which case they look like really separate entities. Shetzrich an eruv v'chol chaburu chaburu. Chaburu needs its own eruv. Al ma nechelku. When then is there machlokes? Al mechitzes she'ein magias l'tikra. If the mechitzes don't reach all the way up to the ceiling, in which case we have separate usage areas, but it's pretty visible that the ceiling here is all-encompassing, because there's a gap between the mechitza and the ceiling, in which case the ceiling overrides everything and sort of connects them all to one makkah. So that's the basis of the machlokes. What do we focus on? Do we focus on these separate usage areas, which is created by the partitions, or do we focus on that ceiling, which envelops everything into one grand living quarters? So Amar Nechelku al Mechitzes She'en Magias HaTikra. The Machlokes only pertains to Mechitzes which don't reach up to the ceiling. She'bishame Oimrim Erev L'chol Chabura Chabura. Each group needs its own Erev. It's a separate living quarters. U'bisil Oimrim. No, the ceiling envelops everybody. Erev Echad L'kulan. One Erev on behalf of them all. So that's the Braisa with Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar explaining to us that the Machlokes pertains to a case where the mechitzes don't reach up to the ceiling, but should they reach the ceiling, in which case they look like really separate entities, all agree, we treat them like separate domains. Let's analyze the Braisa and apply it to the aforementioned approaches to the machlekes. It says, according to the view that held that the machlekes pertains to where the mechitzes reach up to the ceiling, it's only there that Beis Shammai hold the separate entities. This will hold, at the end of the day, there's a ceiling covering everything, overriding everything, enclosing and enveloping everything. According to that approach, to Yufta, it's going to be refuted from this Braisa, which clearly tells us that the machlekes applies to where the mechitzes don't even reach the ceiling. But should they reach the ceiling, all agree they're separate entities. So it's inconsistent with that approach. However, according to the other approach, that the machlekes is pertaining to a case where the mechitzes don't reach up to the ceiling, so we have separate usage areas, but they're enveloped by that ceiling, because there's that gap between the mechitzes and the ceiling. So it doesn't really appear that the mechitzes are really functioning to separate these areas into separate domains. So according to that approach, siyata, we have a right from this Braisa, because it is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar says in this Braisa. Says the more lahach lishna da'amar Rav Nachman. According to the first version in Rav Nachman, that he said machlekes v'mesipas. Machlekes only pertains to mechitza, which is less than 10 tefachim. But if it's 10 tefachim and above, all agree, they're considered to be separate entities. To Yufta, that's refuted from this Braisa, which clearly tells us that you can have even very high mechitzas. As long as they don't reach the ceiling, we'll have the same machlekes. However, lahach lishna d'amar Rav Nachman, according to the second lashon of Rav Nachman, who said, af mesipas machlekes. The machlekes pertains to mechitzas which are high up, 10 tefachim high, for instance, as long as they don't reach the ceiling. 10 tefachim high, or even mesipas, low down mechitzas, we'll have the same machlekes. So according to that, it's a little tricky. Lema tava tiyufta. Shall we say that there's a tiyufta refutation from this braisa? Because Rida Sabar tells us in this braisa that the machlokes pertains to a case where we have mechitzes, mechitzas don't reach the ceiling. If they reach the ceiling, all agree that the subdivisions are regarded as separate entities. Perhaps we should infer from there that we don't really have proper mechitzas. Let's say just mesipas, less than 10 tefachim. Perhaps all agree, even Mishama agree, that these chaburis are now living in one combined entity. Because less than 10 tefachim is not a proper mechitza. Should we infer that from this braisa? Again, because Rabbi Yehuda Saber discusses mechitzas, perhaps does that indicate that if it's less than a proper mechitza, it's only a mesipas, less than 10, there's no discussion, no machlekes. All agree it's one combined entity. And this will not be consistent with Rav Nachman, who says that the machlekes, the same machlekes will apply to mechitzes or even to mesipas. Says, well, no. Amalar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman will respond, pligi be mechitza, vadim be mesipas. The same machlekes that applies to mechitzes will apply to mesipas. So even if it's a very short mechitza, less than 10 tefachim, you're going to have the same machlekes, and this is consistent with what he said. What then is the reason that the Braisa here describes their machlekes as pertaining to mechitzes? Meaning if the machlekes applies to mesipas as well, why? Why is that not mentioned? Why does the Braisa mention mechitzes? Well, to highlight the shita of Beisilo, that it's a chiddush, even if you have a mechitza, ten tefachim, between the groups, they're still considered to be one and the same entity. Says more of a mesipas. One second. Why take it that direction? Why shouldn't the Braisa describe their machlekes as pertaining to short machitzes? And that will highlight shitas beishamai, loydiyach hakoychan beishamai. Even though you have just very short machitzes, beishamai maintain these subdivisions are regarded as separate entities. So if you're right, if your approach is correct, that the discussion between Shammai still applies to mechitzas and to mesipas, why did the Braisa choose to speak about mechitzas rather than speak about mesipas, which will highlight the chiddush of Shammai? Even when you have just short, flimsy mechitzas, we consider them as separate entities. So it's like koich teira adif. The power of permissibility is superior. Rashi and Beitza says that it's not a big deal to be machmer. If you don't know, you're just machmer. But to be mekel, that requires confidence and knowledge and clarity. So the Braisa prefers to highlight the shita of Beis Hillel, who are mater. So even if it's mechitza, which is 10 tefachim or beyond, Beis Hillel is going to say that despite the fact that we have separate usage areas, the ceiling of the traklin will be mevatos mechitzas and envelop all the groups together that regard as one rishus, one domain, one place of residence. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, halacha, kerbida sabar. Indeed, the halacha concludes like kerbida sabar. Again, which was that the machlekes between Sham and Basil pertains to a case where the mechitzes reach up but not all the way to the ceiling. So Basil may say, well, focus on the separate usage areas, the separate domains. Basil say, well, since the mechitzes don't reach up to the ceiling, we see that gap there. So they have that temporary nature to them, temporary configuration, and we look at the ceiling up above, which covers everything, which overrides everything, which envelops everything. And we consider all the chaburis as though they're living under that ceiling. It's one space, it's one rishus. So that's the correct approach to the machlekes. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak Masnisin Namideka. The wording in our Mishnah also indicates as such that the machlekes pertains to a case where the mechitzas don't reach the ceiling, but if they reach the ceiling and all agree that they are considered to be separate families. The Ketanei, the Mishnah says, Umaydim, all agree. Bizman shemektsosan shruin machadur malias. When you have some of these members who are residing in chadurim ubalias up in the upper floors, shetzrichen eruv l'chol chabur v'chabur. Each one needs its own eruv, because each one is living in his own living quarters. So the Gemara, my chadurim and my alias. How do we describe rooms and floors? Ilay mechadorim, chadorim mamish, literally separate rooms. So Rashi says the building was designed this manner. So we have permanent walls there. Valiyas, alidas mamish, real floors. Pshita, of course, they're separate living quarters. Why would you think otherwise? Elalav, apparently we're speaking kein chadorim, kein alias, something which resembles rooms or floors. Umayniu. What are these? Mechitzas, Magisa Tikra. Shmamina. Apparently we're speaking about something which resembles floors or rooms. Meaning we have mechitzas which go all the way up to the ceiling, which create that resemblance of a separate room. In this case, the Mishnah tells us that all agree, even Beis Hillel would agree, that we regard it as a separate rishus, and they need to make an eruv, they want to transfer from one to the other. They each one have to contribute separately to the eruv and the chatzar. Indeed, this is a raya, shma mino, like Rabbi Das Sabar, who maintains that if the mechitzas reach all the way up to the ceiling, all agree, even Beis Hillel agree, they are regarded as separate living quarters. So let's stop for a moment. At this point in the Gemara, we had a Mishnah which said five groups who spent their Shabbos in a traklin, this large house, large room, separated by temporary mechitzas which create those subdivisions. Beis Shammai maintains each one is a separate group, a separate dwelling area. Each one needs to make a separate erev. Whereas Beis Hillel say erev echad lekulan, they're considered to be like one place of residence. And we said we have two ramifications here. Number one, if you consider them to be all one makim dira, then they could just transfer freely throughout without making erev. Number two, when they go in and contribute to the erev in the chatzar, you need one portion of bread and no more. We have three approaches to this machlekes. Number one, that the discussion pertains to low, flimsy mechitzas less than 10 tefachim. Second approach was the machlekes pertains to a case where the mechitzas don't reach up to the ceiling. Third approach was that the machlekes only applies when the mechitzas do reach up to the ceiling. But if they don't reach to the ceiling, all agree it's one entity. We had a braisa which quoted Rabbi Das Sabar, who adopted the second approach. It's only when the mechitzas don't reach the ceiling we have that machlekes. But if they reach up to the ceiling, all agree, even Beis Hillel would agree, they're considered to be separate entities. And the Gemara concluded that halacha follows the shita, and indeed we have a right from our Mishnah, that when the mechitzas reach up to the ceiling, all agree, they're considered to be separate entities. Now the Gemara is going to adopt a brand new approach to this machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. All agree, even Beis Shammai agrees, that everybody living within the confines of this traklin are regarded as though they're living in one and the same domain, one and the same entity. They don't need to make an eruv to transfer between subdivisions here. The ceiling of the traklin will envelop them all together. They're all considered to be living in one place of residence. There's no question about that. Where then is Eruv Machlekes? It pertains to a general question. Rashi already addressed this in the Mishnah. Let's say we have some people living in a chatzar who've made an eruv with one another. Now they'd like to join with the chatzar next door. So they take their bread, they bring it over next door, and that connects the two chatzers. How much bread is required? Should we say that every family, every house has to contribute separately? Or should we say, since they've already joined together, they're one communal entity? So one fellow could just represent them all, take his own bread, bring it next door, and he represents his entire group. Now, if the eruv comes to them, they're the hosts, and certainly, in their home territory, they're regarded as one and the same entity. They don't need more than one eruv. But if they're sending the eruv next door, as far as the people next door, they don't view them necessarily as one entity. This is not their home territory. So when it comes to sending the eruv here, next door, they need to each one send their own bread. Each family is to contribute separately. Each house, his own eruv, to connect the two chatziris. Or should we say, no, since they're one entity, it's irrelevant whether they're at home or they're next door. One eruv on behalf of them all is enough. That's Shita's Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds that one can represent them all. Whereas Beis Shammai holds, if they're home, if they're hosting the eruv, yeah, they're considered to be one group. But if they're sending the eruv next door, each house has to send his own eruv. So getting back to the traklin, that's like a group that made an eruv with each other. They don't even need an eruv. They're a bunch of families, a bunch of groups living together under the umbrella of this traklin. It's as though they made an eruv with one another. It's like one communal entity. So now they'd like to join with the other members of their chatzar. So if the eruv is coming to them, they're their hosts, so certainly in their home territory they're regarded as one entity. They don't need more than one eruv. They don't need to contribute more than one portion. But, this is agreed upon by all, but if they send their eruv material to a different home in the chatzar, so they're out of their comfort zone, out of their place of residence, out of this communal area, that's when we have a machlekes. Beis Hillel will hold, even then, one could represent them all, because they're one singular entity. But Rav Shammai holds, if they're out of their home territory, they're sending the Erev elsewhere, each Chabur needs to contribute independently. And that's the discussion now in Mishnah. Let's see inside. Tana would not embrace it. But Medivam Amur, when is this said? When does Basil say one Erev is enough on behalf of all the groups? When they send the Erev elsewhere. So that's when Basil holds one Erev is enough to represent them all. Whereas Bishami holds, if they're sending the Erev elsewhere, each one has to contribute. Each Chabur needs to contribute. Aval imahaya a Reuven by Etzlan. But if the Erev was coming to them, the people in the Trachlan are the hosts of the Erev. This is their hometown. This is their place of residence. Over here, they're considered to be one entity. All agree, Erev Echad Lekulan, one Erev portion is enough on behalf of this entire group. Says the Mar Kaman Azla Hadassanya. If that's the case, whose Shita is represented in the following Brice? Chamisha Shagobo Se Reuven. If five people made an Erev in a Chatzar, now they'd like to connect to the Chatzar next door. When they send the Erev next door, Erev Echad Lekulan, one Erev on behalf of all is enough. Whose Shita is this? Keman Kebesil, it's following Besil Shita. Because Rishami holds that when you're sending your Erev out of town, you're sending it out of your home territory, you no longer regard it as one entity, and each family, each bias needs to send separately. Continues the Gemara, there's actually another version to this approach in the Machlokes. Some say as follows, that when it comes to sending your Erev elsewhere, all agree, even Besil would agree, that you no longer regard it as one single entity. You're not in your home territory, you're connecting elsewhere, you're sending the Erev next door. That's agreed upon by all. When does Basil maintain that you only need one Erev portion on behalf of the entire group? When they are hosting the Erev at home, in their home location, they're considered to be one entity. That's Basil Shita and Basil Shami hold. No, even then, even when they're hosting the Erev, they need to contribute independently. Because they're looking to connect to the chatzah next door, each one needs to make his own connection. There's another version of this approach in the Gemara. Getting back to our traklin, that again, all agree, even Bishama agrees, that they don't need an Erev to transfer between the subdivisions. There's no question about that. The question is when they're trying to connect to other people. When does Basil maintain that one Erev portion is enough? We have an entire group. When the Erev arrives at their location, they're the hosts of the Erev that they're making with the other Bnei HaChatzar. But if they're sending their Erev elsewhere, out of their home territory, out of their traklin, the V'rakoyel all agree, even Mesil agrees, Tzrichan Erev L'chabur V'chabur, each group is to contribute independently. If that's the case, let's get back to that Braisa. Keman Oz L'Hadassanya. Whose sheet is reflected in the Braisa which says, Chamisha Shagov V'Sirun, five people collected their Erev. Now they want to connect to the chatzar next door, Kshamalichan Esei Reuven, when they bring the Erev over there, L'makam Achar, to the other chatzar, Erev Echad L'Kulan, all you need is one Erev on behalf of them all. Whose shita is this? Keman K'loik Echad. It doesn't follow any of our shitas. So this is the third shita, meaning Beshama and Besil, by us, both will hold that it's only when they're hosting the Erev that we consider them to be one group. But if they're sending the Erev elsewhere, with regards to their neighbors, they're no longer considered to be one group. They need to send independent Erevs. Whereas this price maintains, even when you're sending it next door, you can do one Erev on behalf of them all. So in summary, we just added another two approaches to Machlokes Rav Shammai Basil, in addition to the earlier three approaches. So according to this approach in the Gemara, the first version was that all agree that the members of the Traklin don't have to make an Erev with one another. They're considered to be one entity. They're enveloped by this Traklin. The question is when they're trying to connect to others. In this case, they're connecting to other people living in that chatzar. So, if the Erev is going to be placed elsewhere out of their traklin, now we have a machlekes. Beis Shammai says, each group needs to contribute independently. Whereas Beis Hillel holds, they're considered to be one communal unit. And therefore, one can represent all the people, all the chaburis in the traklin. But if the Erev is coming to them, they're hosting the Erev, all agree, they only need to contribute one portion. According to the second version of the Gemara, if they place their Erev elsewhere, all agree, they're no longer considered to be one single entity. Machlekes is, when the Erev comes to them. And they're hosting the Erev. Over here, they still hold. This is their home territory. Over here, they regard it as one single entity. Therefore, they don't need to contribute more than one portion. Whereas Rosh Hashanah holds, even in this case, we regard them as separate chaburis. Now, as the Mepharshim speak out, when we speak about the host of the Erev contributing, it doesn't literally mean he has to contribute, because the host of the Erev, the home where the Erev is being hosted, doesn't need to add any bread. What's the point of the Erev? To make it a place of residence on behalf of all who contributed to the Erev. The person who owns the home, this is his home, this is automatically his place of residence. So that's important to point out, that when we speak about a person hosting the Erev, he only needs to contribute. One, it doesn't literally mean to contribute. It means that it's automatically, he's automatically part of the Erev because the Erev is in his home. And this is certainly his makam dira. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'achin shoyu oichlin al shulchan aviyim. We have brothers who would get their food from their father's home. So they were supported by their father. Yishenim v'teim. But they would sleep back at home. So we have brothers living in separate homes in a chatzar, where they would sleep. But they would actually eat from their father. In this case, as the Mishnah, tzrichen erev l'chol echad v'echad. Each brother, when he wants to make an Erev with the other members of the Chatzar, needs to contribute independently to the Erev. We don't regard them as one single entity just because they're being supported by their father. Therefore, if one of them forgot to make an Erev, he needs to do bittul to allow carrying in the Chatzar. Ein masai, when is this said? When do they need to make an Erev? Bezman shemalichin Erev l'makam achar. So we have some other people in the chatzar who'd like to make an Erev. And the Erev bread is being placed elsewhere, not in their father's home. Avalim hoya Erev ba'eslan. But if the Erev material was actually positioned, was hosted in their father's home, to which they're all connected because they're supported by their father's home, in this case, they don't need to contribute to the Erev. It's as though they're all hosting the Erev. So that's one thing. Oy, she'ein imohen diurin b'chatzar. Well, let's say there are no other residents present in this chatzar aside from these brothers. Eidon tzrichan le'arev. They don't need to make an erev. Because it's only when we have other people here who view these brothers as really separate entities, separate independent residents. They have their own living quarters. So if there are other people here, these brothers are considered to be separate and need to contribute to the erev. But if there's nobody else here except for the brothers as far as themselves are concerned, regard themselves as one single entity. They belong to one household, to their father's home, in which case no Erev is required. And even when there were other residents here, which necessitates an Erev. So it's only if the Erev is placed elsewhere, out of their father's home, do the brothers need to contribute. But if their father's home is hosting the Erev, since they're connected to the father's home, they're supported by the father, considered part of the same household, they're all considered like the hosts of the Erev, and a host of an Erev does not have to contribute. So in summary, when the following two conditions are met, do the brothers need to contribute? Number one, we have other residents in the chatzar. Number two, the Erev is placed out of the father's home. Continues the Gemara. Shema mina. We can conclude from now, Mishnah. Mokim lina goyim. The place where a person sleeps. That determines manners. Let's say a person eats in one place, sleeps in a different place. Two things that sustain a person, eating and sleeping. So, which one is considered to be his mokim dira? From our Mishnah, we seem to see that it's the place where you sleep which determines matters. Because although the brothers eat at their father's home, since they sleep elsewhere in separate homes, we regard them as separate residents to somewhat of a degree. Now, this is inconsistent with Rav, who holds that your dining location, the mokim pita, is what determines matters. And that's considered to be your place of residence. Says Rosh Mamino, we can conclude from our Mishnah, which regards these brothers as separate entities somewhat because they sleep separately. Mokim lina goyim, place where a person sleeps, that determines matters. Om Rav Yudam Rav, ben mekabli pras shanu. The Mishnah is describing a case where they take their food from their father's home, they bring it to their own homes, and they actually eat at home. In which case they have separate eating areas, and therefore it's considered as though they have separate residencies. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Brice, Mi Shiesh Li Beis Shar. A person owns a gatehouse, which is not a dwelling area. It's a gate, it's a little hut in front of the gate, achsadra, or this terrace, this outdoor covered area, which is not a living quarters, or a pesas, or a porch, b'chatzah chaveri. He owns this property in his friend's chatzah. Hareze eino yoser olav, he doesn't make an usher upon him, meaning he does not have to contribute to the erev in that chatzah because these aren't considered to be living quarters. However, beis ha-tevin, a hay silo, beis ha-bakar, a barn, beis ha-etzim, beis ha-etzris, these storage areas either for firewood or for other types of things. Hareze oiser olav, if he owns these properties in his friend's chatzah, he makes it usher because these places are considered to be suitable for living, and therefore he needs to contribute to the erev in that chatzah. Otherwise, they can't carry in that chatzah. Rabbi Do'imer, eino oiser el mokim dir b'vad. The only thing that makes usher is if he's actually living there. Having living quarters without a person there is not reckoned with. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I'll prove it to you. Ma'ase be'ben Nafcha. There's a story with this fellow Ben Nafcha. Shoy lo chomesh chatzeres be'usha. He owned 5 courtyards in Usha. The question was, does he have to contribute to the Sheet of Mavois, even though he's not personally there? Uba ma'ase b'nei chacham. And the story was presented to the Chachamim ba'amar, and they said, Einay oisir le'bisir b'rvad. The only thing that makes usher is a beis dir, a living quarters. It says, Zimor, beis dir sakadaitach? Do you mean to say just a beis dir without a person? No, le'ema mokim dir. Rather say, a place of dwelling, meaning the owner has to actually be present there for him to be required to contribute in the Erev or the Shittif. Okay. So we have a machlokes between Tanakam, who maintains that a living quarters, a mokim dira, is oiser even without the person present. Whereas Rabbi maintains the owner has to be present there. The resident has to be there in order to be reckoned with. Continues the Gemara, my mokim dira. So what do we mean the owner is present? He's living there. In what way is he living? This is what we just discussed earlier. Rav Machlekes and Rav Shmuel. What determines matters? Rav Amar mokim pita. The dining area, where he eats, that's considered to be his place of primary residence. Ushmuel Amar mokim lina, a place where one sleeps. That's considered to be his place of primary residence. The Gemara will embark on a whole discussion here regarding these shitas. What is the exact determinant of a place of dwelling? So in summary, we learned about brothers who are supported by their father, but sleep at home. The Mishnah tells us when 2 conditions are present, they are required to contribute the Erev. Number 1, there are other people in the Chatzah. Number 2, the Erev is going to be placed elsewhere, not in their father's home, in which case, they need to contribute to the Erev. Now, according to Rav, who holds that the place where a person eats is considered to be his place of primary residence, so apparently in our Mishnah, they were taking their food from their father's home, bringing it to their own homes, and that's why we regard them somewhat as separate entities. According to Shmuel, who says, Mokim lina goyim, where a person sleeps, is considered to be his primary place of residence. So, in our Mishnah, the brothers are considered to be separate entities, not necessarily because they bring their food home, but rather because they sleep in their own homes, and the Mokim Lina determines your place of residence. Okay, time for a brief chazorah of today's daf. We began with the machlokes between Rav Meir, who holds that they need to make an Erev Chatzeres and also a Shittif Mavois, whereas Rabbanon hold one or the other is sufficient. According to the first approach, when they use bread, all agree one collection is enough for both. The machlokes is when they used wine for the Shittif. According to Rav Meir, you have to go ahead and do Erev Chatzeres in addition to that Shittif, because wine cannot be applied for the Erev Chatzeres, which requires bread. According to Rabbanon, once you've made a Shittif, that's all encompassing and includes even the Chatzer. According to the second portion of the Gemara, if they used wine, all agree you need to make 2 separate things. When they used bread, Rav Meir holds that's not enough. You need to make 2 separate things. Whereas Rabbanon hold, since you use bread, that can be applied for the Erev and to the Shittif as one. 5 groups who spent their Shabbos in a traklin, this large room, which was separated, subdivided by these temporary mechitis. Beishami says they're considered to be separate. Basil says they're all one. We have 2 approaches in the Gemara. According to the first approach, Beishami required them to make an Erev to carry amongst themselves for one subdivision to the other. According to Basil, they're not required to do so because they're considered to be one, living in one living quarters. We have 3 versions regarding the height of the mechitzes between these groups. According to version number 1, we're speaking about short mechitzes, less than 10 tefachim. According to this next version, we're speaking about mechitzes which are actually high but don't reach the ceiling. According to the third version, they reach the ceiling because otherwise, if they don't reach the ceiling, all agree, they're not considered to be divided. According to the second portion of the Gemara, all agree that these groups don't need an Erev amongst themselves because they're considered to be living in one area. So they mean an Erev to connect themselves. When is the Machlekes? So according to the first version, when they bring their Erev and place it elsewhere, they want to connect with the other people of the Chatzar, so they place their Erev elsewhere. Veshami holds, each group needs to contribute independently. Who's it still holds? One could represent them all. According to the next version, the Machlekes pertains when the Erev arrives to their location. They're the hosts. Even in this case, Beis Shammai will hold each group is required to contribute separately, whereas Basil holds it's their location. Over here, they're one entity. Therefore, they don't need to contribute to the Erev. We conclude with the case of the brothers, who are supported by their father and sleep at home. They're required to make an Erev provided. There are other people in the Chatzar, and then only if the Erev is going to be placed out of their father's home.